So we are in the month of May, where Erica and I are doing a non-sermon series. And so we're each choosing what we're preaching about. It'll be fun to hear what Erica's preaching about next weekend, but once she decides. So last week, I preached about hope. And then this week, I wanted to preach about something that I think is really important, and that is forgiveness. Jesus spoke about forgiveness so often. Even from the cross, some of his last words were about forgiveness. And so I invite you to hear these teachings of Jesus for forgiveness, that we may hear the word of the Lord for us. So Larry, would you come share it?
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So it really is not a coincidence that I am speaking on forgiveness on Mother's Day, because I believe that the ability of mothers, fathers, and parents to forgive their children is key to the survival of the species. To be a mother, father involves a lot of forgiveness. Think of all of the hours of sleep that you lose, that over the course of your infant growing into a young child and growing up grows into hours and then weeks and months and possibly years of lost sleep by parents. Forgiving involves when a child presents you with a diaper that could easily be categorized a nuclear waste site. Forgiveness involves temper tantrums in the middle of the grocery store or in the middle of the church service, although I know no child here would ever do that. Forgiveness is involved when a child tells you at bedtime that, by the way, they promised that you would provide 3 dozen cupcakes for the class party in the morning. Or when they wake up in the morning and they say, oh, that's right, my science project that's due today needs one of those cardboard trifold display things that they need you to get. There's a lot of forgiveness that it takes to get a child to adulthood. There are the spend the night parties in which no one in the house of any age gets any sleep. And then, of course, there are the sleepless nights that come because your child is not in your house and you're worrying about where they are. And, of course, perhaps the biggest task of forgiveness as a parent is when your child insists on growing up and moving away and creating their own family to love and to nurture just the way you taught them. That requires its own brand of forgiveness. To be a parent requires forgiveness. The parent-child relationship is complicated, and it needs forgiveness, and all of our relationships on some level are complicated, and forgiveness is a part of those too. I learned that early on in my ministry. It was my first year of ministry. My title didn't even include the word pastor at that time. It was Christian education. I was in my first year of seminary. I knew nothing. And worse than that, I did not yet know that I knew nothing. At least 35 years later, I am convinced of how little I know. But a woman walked into my office one day. And she said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." And she proceeded to tell me, and her question was, "How can I forgive somebody if they won't ask for forgiveness?" And then she went on to tell me about an offense that had been done against her. It was a garden variety offense, not a big deal, but it was heavy on her heart. And she wasn't able to forgive because the person that offended her had not yet said, "I'm sorry." I don't remember what I told her. All I remember is that I still have this sort of sinking feeling that whatever I told her was wrong. I don't know that there's a right answer, but I feel pretty confident that what my 35-year-ago self said was not the most helpful thing. What would I say to her today with my 35 additional years of life and ministry? When she said, "How do I forgive somebody if they don't ask for forgiveness?" I would say, "It doesn't matter. Just do it. Just forgive her so that you can be free." You see, here's what I've learned over my years of ministry, that I have a lot more people come into my office who need to bestow forgiveness than I have who come seeking forgiveness. In fact, when I first was working on the sermon, my first version of that statement was that I've never had anybody come into my office seeking forgiveness for something that they have done to someone else. And I thought about that more, and that's not entirely true. But I can say that it is extremely rare for somebody to come in with the burden of forgiveness for something they've done. No, the burdens that people come in with are related to forgiveness that they have not been able to bestow on someone else. And now sometimes the issue will sound different, and sometimes that's not what they say is the issue. But so many times it's because we withhold forgiveness. And a lot of the times, kind of like that first woman in my office all those years ago, the thing that is so hard for us to forgive is actually a pretty minor thing. And if you've got something in your heart right now that you haven't been able to let go of, and if you were to turn to somebody you trust and share what that is, would you have to preface it with, "You know this doesn't seem like a big thing to you, but it was to me"? I mean, well, sure, but the reality is that it really wasn't a big thing. But we get stuck on these little things, and we're unable to forgive, and we get stuck there. Well, so I have some good news for you about that today, but I want to begin by sharing with you what sounds like very bad news. I want to share with you the witness of a documentary that I had the opportunity to watch not too long ago. It was called Eva:A-7063. It's about a woman named Eva, and the A7063 is the number that was tattooed on her forearm when she was at Auschwitz concentration camp. She and her family were in Transylvania, and the Nazis came in and took her entire family and transported them by cattle car to Auschwitz. And so this first segment is going to be her describing what happened when she and her twin sister, her mother, her father, and her other siblings got off of that cattle car, are standing on the sorting platform at Auschwitz, I also want to tell you that she speaks with accented English. It's a little bit hard to understand, but I hope that you will listen because her story is worth hearing. So Eva was holding hands with her mother and her twin sister. Her father and other siblings had already been whisked away. And a Nazi came by looking for twins. And the mother said, "Is that a good thing?" And the man said, "Yes." And so she said, "My daughters are twins." And with that, they were ripped from their mother's arms. And she never saw the rest of her family again. She and her sister became Mengele twins. And you may have heard about Joseph Mengele, the doctor of death, and the experiments that he did on twins. During her time there, 6 days a week, she and her sister would be injected with things. Apparently, even Mengele took Sundays off. They never did know what the injections were. At one point, Eva became very ill and was in the infirmary, and Mengele himself came to look at her, and with eyes full of death, just looked at her and said, "She's not going to make it," and walked off, and she determined that she would make it. And she and her sister were indeed liberated from Auschwitz. When you see one of the iconic pictures, I'm sorry I don't have it, is of a bunch of children, the twins, being released, and they're in the very front wearing those striped prison costumes. She and her sister then went on to live with the after effects of these experiments. Her sister ended up having kidney problems. When they did an examination, they discovered that her kidneys had in essence frozen at age 10, which is the age of these experiments. And so Eva gave her sister one of her kidneys, and Eva is still alive. But what I want you to hear, and the piece of good news I want you to hear right now, is that out of this very terrible thing that she experienced, she managed to find freedom. We'll be looking at that in a minute. And so for those of you that are bearing burdens, things that you need to forgive, if you begin to think, "Well, mine is too big to forgive, I can't let go of this thing that has been done against me," Eva's story is going to change your heart. And I hope that Scripture will also. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "But I say to you that listen." I say to you that listen. And I want to pause there for a minute, because it is hard for us to listen when it comes to forgiveness. I understand why not. If somebody has done something wrong against me, I am really good at rehearsing it again and again in my mind. Why is that? Because the worse thing that somebody's done to me, then the better I am. And I can tell it to myself again and again, so that the small things gets bigger and bigger, so that my righteousness gets bigger and bigger. And so when Jesus says to those who will listen, well, who can listen to Jesus when you hear your own voice in your head saying how wonderful you are because of how terrible other people have been to you? And so I urge you to let go of that voice in your head. But I say to those that listen, love not just people who like you, but love your enemies. Do good, not just to the good people, but do good to those who hate you. Bless not just those who bless you, but bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. And get yourself out of those situations. Jesus isn't saying to stay in a situation of abuse by any means, but what he is saying is that the path to freedom goes through forgiveness. This section includes what we know of as the Golden Rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. Many of the major religions of the world have similar sayings, but Jesus puts his in this context, because we often think of the Golden Rule as do to others as you would have them do to you, do to others who are nice, others that are like you, people that you want to be with, do to them as you'd have them do unto you. But that's not the context. Jesus is talking about your enemies, those who hate you, those who curse you, those who abuse you, those who strike you on the cheek, those who take away your coat, those who beg, those who take away your goods, and it's do to them as you would have them do to you. If forgiveness were easy, given only to those who deserve it, then anyone could do it. It is hard work, but it gives us the path of peace. So Eva and her sister lived for, as she describes it, 50 years with the physical and psychological burdens of what happened to them at Auschwitz. She felt powerless from what all had happened to her. And I want you to hear where she began to find power once again. As a victim of over 50 years, I never thought I had any power over my life, but then I discovered the power of forgiveness. And it changed everything for her. It's what Jesus teaches us will happen, that there is power in forgiveness. He goes on to say, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You'll be children of the Most High. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. There is power in being able to offer that forgiveness and being able to offer that mercy. In the book of Ruth, we learn about one of the ways in which food was given to those who were in need. People who wore long robes at the time, you would lift up kind of the hem of your robe and hold it out, making an indentation. People would be able to put grain in there, and so you could walk away with that. Well, keep that imagery in your mind, because what Jesus said is, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. And so there's that image that as you forgive, what you receive of, in terms of forgiveness, in terms of love, joy, and peace will be like an overflowing amount into your lap. And that's what happens. I share with you Eva's story because it's where you can see it really happens. Now, you need to know that Eva is not, to this day, a person who claims a faith of her own, but she has so much to share with us, so much to teach us. You also need to know that the forgiveness that she chose to offer in a public way, she went back to Auschwitz with a German Nazi doctor, not the one that had treated her, but another one who had done other things, and stood beside him and read a proclamation of forgiveness. How powerful. How moving. But what I want you to know is that not everybody heard it that way. And so let's listen to Eva's words about that. We cannot change what happened. That's the tragic part. But we can change how we relate to us. Wherever those places of hurt are in your life today, wherever those places are that you need to give someone else the gift of forgiveness to free you, know that that path is available to you. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. I am convinced, after 35 years of ministry and 56 years of life, that forgiveness is the way to peace. The ability to forgive others is a way to free ourselves. And so may you today find that path to forgiveness wherever that leads you. And may you experience the faith, hope, and love that is yours through Christ. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we each have had places where it's been hard for us to offer forgiveness, and we offer those to you now. We also seek forgiveness for the things that we have done wrong to others and to you. God, take us broken as we are and make of us something beautiful. Give us the gift to forgive as we have been forgiven. In your holy name we pray. Amen.